Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah Humphrey, your host for today. And this is a podcast where we talk a little bit about life, love, relationships, and all things post-grad and being in your 20s. Today, you only have me. Sarah Arata, unfortunately, is still in Virginia. I miss her a ton. And hopefully, we'll actually learn how to do Zoom and record it. Record the podcast on Zoom, because I know it's possible, but to be honest with you, I have just been incredibly lazy. I know that's a terrible excuse, but I don't know. It's so easy to get distracted. We have so much time on our hands, especially with not being able to go anywhere, but you know, my phone is very distracting. TikTok, unfortunately, is very distracting. I have deleted the app since downloading it because I spent about 2 hours just scrolling through, trying to learn dances. I haven't been successful with learning a dance at all, but that's besides the point. Today we have kind of like a little different podcast for you guys. I know usually we do like a lot of fun like question answer and kind of like drinking games. That's been kind of the theme recently, but I don't know. Obviously, I'm not really drinking actually that much during this quarantine. I know a lot of people kind of are drinking a lot of wine, and I feel like the mentality with a lot of people is kind of just drink because there's nothing else to do. But for me personally, I think this is a perfect time to kind of abstain from alcohol. I mean, obviously I have it like on the weekends, but I'm not like drinking, like I'm going out to the bars, like I'm not taking shots or anything. At this point, I haven't taken a shot in, I feel like, 2 months now. And yeah, I don't think my body would love me for that. But I think kind of this is a great way, or this time in our life is a great time to just really reflect on life overall. I mean, especially as a senior, we have a lot of uncertainties, especially with this, I guess, job market. We're in a giant recession now, and some people are saying that it's going to be bigger than the Great Depression. Some people think it's going to only last a few months. Who really knows? It changes every day. But regardless, we're still kind of in a scary time during this quarantine era. But it kind of got me thinking. I don't know. I've been thinking a lot. I am a chronic overthinker, though. So what's new? I have been thinking a lot, especially about success. And especially since, you know, I'm applying to all these jobs. I actually, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll find out within the next, I guess, week or so, but hopefully a couple job offers. I'm just trying to like throw that out there in the universe. Hopefully it will listen and actually grant me those two wishes. But I'm so grateful to even have the option of potentially having two job offers, because I know a lot of people my age don't even have a job, or probably won't have a job for the next couple months, unfortunately. So that's something I'm very grateful for. But that being said, me and my roommates have been talking a lot about jobs and I guess what it means to be like financially successful, and kind of just how, I mean, especially going to a four-year university, a lot of people kind of go in with the expectation of kind of graduating from college with a relatively good job and making good money, being financially independent, being successful, you know, like, I don't know. When I think of my life after college, growing up especially, I, for some reason, always imagined myself in New York City, working some 9-to-5, looking super, super cute. Like, I think of the scene from The Proposal, Sandra Bullock's character. She was wearing these pair of Louis Vuittons. She looked like a badass bitch, and I kind of wanted to be her. I didn't want to be her, actually, because she was kind of a bitch in the movie. But besides the point, that's how I imagined myself living. I don't know why. yeah, that's not how it is currently at the moment. And it's not how it will be, especially in my life for, I would say, 20 years down the line. Maybe I can get to that point where I'm wearing Louis Vuittons, but also that's not necessarily my style. So I don't know. That's kind of how I've always imagined, especially growing up, like being financially successful. But it kind of got me thinking, why do we always assume success to be correlated with being financially stable and making all of this money and having this high-powered job and being successful in your career? And I don't know, especially as I've grown older, I've definitely imagined my life kind of more, I don't know, more simple compared to other people. Like, yes, I would love to be a millionaire. I mean, who wouldn't? But if I was a millionaire, I wouldn't necessarily, I don't think, live the lifestyle of a typical millionaire. I mean, and I say that now, so who knows if that will ever happen. I mean, that would be kind of nice. But still, I don't think I would ever really want to get a private jet or, I don't know, get like a Ferrari. Like, I'm totally fine with driving. It's funny because I say this and people are like, why would you want that car? But I really want a 1950 baby blue Chevy pickup truck. I don't know. I think they're so cute. And obviously, you can't really take them on long car rides, like, you know, driving them down the highway to and from like different states because it'd probably break down multiple times. But still, I don't know. I think it's like super classic. So I don't know. I would want to live more of a simple life, like having a more humble house and just kind of having the money and like donating it to things, I guess. But I don't know. That's how I kind of imagine my life, even if I am necessarily financially successful. I would strive to live more of a humble life and just kind of give my money to others. But regardless of how financially successful I become or others come, it kind of got me thinking about just how money doesn't buy happiness. And me and my roommates last night, we were sitting on the couch and we were discussing different job offers we got and how much the salary pays and, you know, how we're definitely going to have to adjust our lifestyle because, you know, we like the finer things in life. Like, one of my roommates really likes getting her nails done. I like buying really expensive food at Whole Foods. And I definitely can't do that once, you know, I start working and paying for everything myself. My parents have really helped me out with, I guess, buying food at college. So I'm super thankful for that. But I mean, this will definitely just be a wake-up call. And we were just kind of thinking about how, you know, right out of college, we're not necessarily going to be successful financially. So how can we be successful in the other aspects of our lives? And that includes being, I guess, emotionally and mentally and physically and even spiritually successful. And how does that look? And I feel like all of those things are so intertwined, yet so overlooked, especially in our society that champions, honestly, just making money and quote unquote succeeding in that way and kind of climbing the corporate ladder and being a person who kind of commands attention in a business setting. I feel like that is so championed, but I feel that people don't really champion the other things of having a healthy relationship, whether it be with your family or your like partner or your friends, or even just being like mentally sound and being really mentally strong. I feel like that, I mean, yes, it is championed to a certain extent, but I feel like a lot of people they kind of view it in a different way than being financially successful. They don't kind of view it as success. They view it as kind of something that is important to have in your life. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people think, well, money, it buys happiness, all of this. And so it got me thinking. I was like, okay, well, who are some people in life that are super wealthy, but so unhappy. And honestly, it's so many CEOs. And I was recently on Oprah.com. I don't know why. I found myself there in the interwebs. And I stumbled across an article she actually wrote recently. And she was talking about the idea of gratitude, and in particular, her gratitude journal that she has. So I'm going to read a little snippet of the article that she wrote. But she said, "A few years ago, I came across a journal entry. I wondered why I no longer felt the same joy of simple pleasures. Since 1996, I had accumulated more wealth, more responsibility, more possessions. Everything, it seemed, had grown exponentially, except for my happiness. How had I, with all my opportunities and options, become one of those people who will never have time to feel delight? I have stretched in so many directions, I wasn't feeling much of anything. Too busy doing. But the truth is, I was busy in 1996 too. I just made gratitude a daily priority. I went through the day looking for things to be grateful for, and something always showed up." So, I don't know. I feel like that's very telling. If Oprah, like, come on, she's like a billionaire, I think. She owns her own network. She probably owns way more than I even know. But if even Oprah can have all of that money, have all of that quote-unquote success financially, and still not be happy, that's pretty telling for me. And that's kind of like what I wanted to talk about today, of how gratitude is so important in life. And that is one way we can be emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually successful in life. I mean, if we are grateful for the little things, and I definitely am not. Like, I'm not going to lie. I struggle with being grateful from time to time. Like, yes, I am very blessed and I know that I have all of these things, but gratitude is like a muscle. It's something that you have to practice every day. And, you know, some days when you don't, you can really notice a difference once you kind of get in the routine of, you know, writing in your journal, writing down five things that you're grateful for. And these are very small things that you should be grateful for. They're not things like, oh, I have a roof over my head. I have food to eat. The idea of practicing gratitude, and I've read a few books over this quarantine about it. I've read things by Rachel Hollis and a book that I'm reading right now, or I just finished actually. It's by Jeannie Allen. It's called Get Out of Your Head, and she talks about gratitude. And one of the things that all of these authors had in common was the idea of gratitude is supposed to kind of be about the little things. So it's, for instance, the run that I went on today, the wind was blowing and it made me cool off. It's like the simplest things. Or it's like, today at Starbucks, I got a different kind of latte and it tasted so great. And I'm just grateful that I chose a different latte to drink. It's like that's very kind of stupid example, but still, that's a way that you can practice gratitude every day in your life, because even when shit is hitting the fan and I don't know, you lose your job, you don't have enough money to pay for X, Y, and Z, it's practicing being grateful for the really, really simple things, because at the end of the day, we all have really, really simple things to be grateful for. And I mean, story time, I can talk about, I guess, a time where I was honestly really ungrateful and struggling. And I guess that was when I was abroad. I struggled with like a lot of anxiety and kind of like I was pretty honestly depressed. I had a concussion the entire time abroad. And so, I mean, when you have a concussion, you really can't think straight. I was drinking way too much with a concussion, which is terrible to do. I was going out until like 3 a.m. half the time. Well, not half the time, but like a fair amount. And, you know, I wasn't taking care of myself like I should. And when I could have been so grateful that I was in a different country, being surrounded by a different culture. And especially like now I am grateful that I went to Italy. I studied abroad in Rome. And I'm so grateful now looking back that I went to Italy when I did before this whole thing happened. Because who knows when you can really go back to Italy and it's doing okay and it's like safe and it's financially and economically, you know, stable. But in the moment, I honestly wasn't really practicing gratitude. I was really just kind of stuck in a rut. I was stuck in my past. I remember calling my mom every day and just kind of, I honestly think I cried every day towards the end, but I think I called my mom and I was like, I'm just so upset about this that happened and this that happened and this that happened. And they were all things that had happened about 6 months prior to me being in Italy. I was not living in the moment at all. And I mean, to a certain extent, I couldn't really help that because my brain physically was not working with my concussion. But still, I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't take the time to really just take a moment and realize where I was. But I was struggling so much that I just like didn't really care. And I ended up being kind of not ungrateful, but I mean, I wasn't as grateful as I could have been for the situation that I was placed in. And I try to show myself some grace for that situation. And I kind of view it more so as a learning lesson to remember to be grateful. And I think everyone should do that. Like, obviously, there's going to be points in life where it sucks and it's terrible and shit is hitting the fan and it feels like your life is falling apart and your chest is tight and get anxious and it's just absolutely terrible and all you do is want to cry, but then you have to kind of like, you know, go out into the world and pretend everything's okay. And I feel like a lot of the times I've felt like that, it's just because I don't take a step back and really remember what I have. And it's like the simplest things of even just like waking up in the morning, because every day is a blessing, even if it doesn't feel like it in the moment. So I don't know, I feel like now after I've been through that situation, I am learning and I'm still learning, and honestly I'm not very good at it, but that is my quarantine resolution, is to practice more gratitude. And in the book that I finished by Jeannie Allen, it's called Get Out of Your Head. She has a whole chapter on really transforming your mind to be one that is grateful. So I'm going to read a passage. I figure I'm going to like read more passages from books and things that, I don't know, things that I encounter, because I was never a reader, but recently I have really gotten to reading, especially books about the mind. I'm really big into mental health and emotional health. So I think that's something that you can always improve. It's never going to be perfect, but you can always improve your mental health and emotional health. So therefore, I'm always reading books about it. So I'm going to read right here. The passage is called Your Brain on Gratitude. So in a study done by Psychology Today, the researchers found that subjects who showed more gratitude overall had higher levels of activity in the hypothalamus. Okay, I did not study biology and I was never good at science. So I'm sorry, I totally butchered that word. But whatever that word that I totally mispronounced, that is the section of the brain that really controls bodily functions such as eating, drinking, sleeping, the whole nine yards. So when you show gratitude, you're activating that part of your brain over and over again. So therefore, those bodily functions are actually improved. So not only does gratitude help your mental health, it actually helps your physical health as well. And then she kind of goes into the seven key benefits that researchers have found that gratitude helps as well. And gratitude is shown to better your relationships. It shows that you actually become more prone to also developing relationships as well, which I guess for people who struggle with really making friends, I mean, even a simple thank you can kind of open the door to a relationship, if you think about it, I guess, on a really small scale. And then gratitude also obviously improves your physical health. It improves your psychological health. It reduces harmful emotions such as jealousy, frustration, and regret. It enhances your empathy and reduces aggression. There was one study that found that grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner, which I think is a very great way of saying that you're prone to be less of an asshole. But these are just a few things. And also, grateful people sleep better, have increased mental strength, and they have better self-esteem. So, I mean, in my opinion, after hearing all of that, why wouldn't you want to practice gratitude? And it's definitely not easy whatsoever. And I think one way of starting to kind of reframe your mind with how to be grateful is kind of looking at your failures and kind of realizing that some of your biggest failures in life can actually be the things you're most grateful for. I know for me, for instance, I can think, so in high school, I could technically say, so I struggled with a really bad eating disorder in high school. And it was something that, honestly, I don't remember any of my high school years, to be honest, because if you've ever struggled with something that intense, it is really all consuming. And food and like how I looked was the only thing that ran through my mind for probably 3 years of my life. And it's terrible. And, you know, a lot of people can view that as like a failure, like having to struggle with something so terrible and toxic. I think a lot of people view that as just a disappointment, and it is definitely a struggle. But I kind of view that as my biggest success in a way, because that really pushed me. Because after, you know, you get through that hump of going through like 3 years or whatever of being absolutely miserable and just hating yourself, you kind of flip a switch in your mind, and it really propelled me to learn to live a healthy lifestyle. And by no means, so like that happened, I started developing that when I was like 16. So I would say 16 to 19, I was really struggling with that. And it's definitely something like self-esteem and body issues are something now. I mean, I'm a normal girl. We all have insecurities. There are some days when I kind of like beat myself up about how I look. But then I would say, compared to a lot of females, though, I do have really high like self-esteem and body positivity, which I don't think I ever would have had if I didn't really have an eating disorder and go through all of that. And so I think that's something I am honestly grateful for. And I find that throughout that struggle, I was able to like come out successful in terms of just how I view my body, and just realizing that, you know, it's a gift. And the fact that, I don't know, I can eat and I can work out and still be healthy, like that is such an amazing thought. It sounds so simple, but from someone who had that mindset of like, you can only work out and barely eat anything, and that's how you're healthy. And now having the mindset that I have developed over the past couple years, I think that to me is one of my greatest successes, that I came out literally alive from that, I guess, from that situation. And then also I had a job interview actually this past week, and he asked me, you know, the typical question of where they're asking you, so what's an example of a time you had to give criticism and feedback because he was explaining how the company really valued and championed criticism in order for personal growth, which I agree with. But I always hate these questions because, for instance, I would not use the example I just used about my eating disorder, obviously, in a job interview. And I hate all of these questions that they always ask in job interviews because I'm like, okay, do you want the real question or the cookie cutter one? Like, I'm not going to tell you about all the times. Like, for instance, when they talk about, tell me a time you've really struggled. And I'm like, okay, well, it's about my past eating disorder that I had, or some guy is being an asshole to me, or like, it's just like these things. And I was like, I'm not about to bring up my very personal life or just like family issues or friend issues. I'm not about to bring that up in a job interview. So I always find it so interesting in ways, honestly, kind of, this sounds bad, but I totally lie during these interviews. But kind of back to the question that he asked me, he asked me some time that I kind of had to give harsh feedback to someone in order to make them be better and grow as a person. And I talked about the time I went to a family member and kind of just sat them down and was like, okay, listen, you aren't really succeeding in this area of your life. You're going to have to put in more work. You're going to have to really just buckle down and put your head down and focus, because right now the lifestyle that you're living isn't really conducive to your success. And I kind of went obviously into more detail, but that was like the gist of what I said. It was very, you know, cookie cutter. And then he tells me, the man who I'm interviewing with, he said, so what I'm hearing is that you don't like to give feedback and you're kind of like a pushover. And he didn't use the word pushover exactly. But, you know, that was the kind of connotation that it carried, whatever he said to me. So I honestly got really, my blood started boiling when he said that, because I do not think that I am a pushover whatsoever. I mean, obviously, I don't necessarily like confrontation. I don't think many people do like to fight with others. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to have to give criticism to someone because they, I guess, quote unquote, failed at whatever they did, then I'm going to, because failure, like I mentioned, it just can lead to growth. And I don't ever think of things as a failure. I just think of it as an opportunity to grow. And that's where you can be grateful for. You can be grateful for your failures. You can be grateful for those times that really just kind of make you want to cry and scream and pull out your hair or eat like in a whole tub of ice cream. Like, honestly, I'm a firm believer, do that. If you need to cry and scream about shit, do it. But also, you have to kind of like stop after it's all out. You kind of have to stop, take a second, breathe, and then reframe your mind and remember like how that is going to be something that can push you forward and how you can be grateful for that. And so, kind of wrapping it all up, I think all of your failures and the hard things you go through, those things can be something that really drive you to succeed. And those are the things that drive you to succeed beyond being financially stable. Because money can fade, but at the end of the day, all you really do have is your relationships and you. So if you don't pour yourself into being really emotionally and mentally strong, how are you gonna be able to kind of live a life that's worth living? In my opinion, you can't. And so that is basically all I had to really say. I know it was just like a little ramble and it wasn't necessarily, you know, our typical funny drinking podcast, but you know what? I think it's good to talk about the important things in life, and I definitely want to kind of touch on more of these topics as we continue to podcast. So if you could give this podcast a 5-star on whatever platform you are currently listening to us on, I would greatly appreciate it. And be sure to tune in next week for another podcast. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I'll see you guys later. Bye.